hopefully it was a productive evening for us. You know, first off, you know, tip of the hat to Monty Austin Ford and the college staff. I mean, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of labor, there's a lot of effort from a lot of people. Monty is certainly at the forefront of that. There's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into this process. It's a long process. It's a laborious process. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of information that we need to gather, sort through. So, you know, credit to Monty and his staff for the job that they do. He's an immense help to Bill and I both. We're lucky to have him. So, you know, it's an interesting night in a position where he had the two picks there in the first round. You know, first pick, we picked Isaiah. You know, first off, I mean, you know, both players, I mean, they come from a great program. I mean, we have a lot of respect, tremendous amount of respect for Coach Smart and the job that he does. He's doing at Georgia and the job that he did at Alabama. So, I mean, both of these players, I mean, they're playing against some of the best players in the country on a weekly basis, and they were productive players. Isaiah, a lot of experience. He's started for 3 years. He's played both guard. He's played tackle. He's played multiple spots. Been productive in both of those areas, you know, so good player, good traits, been in a good program. He had to block a lot of good people in that conference. As you all know, you guys that watch SEC football, I mean, there's a lot of good football players down there. A lot of them that got drafted tonight. There's probably a bunch of them that get drafted tomorrow. You know, so he's had to block those players. So he has experience playing multiple spots. So, you know, we'll put him in a mix and see how it goes. I mean, our whole philosophy on the whole offensive line is, look, we'll put the best five guys out there, and however it sorts itself out, it'll sort itself out. So, so that was the pick there. And then the second pick there, 31, with Sony Michel, you know, really their backfield, I mean, between he and Chubb, I mean, you're talking about two of the most productive players in the SEC. I think Sony averaged, I mean, 6-7 yards a carry over the course of his career. Athletic player. Both of those guys, they got a bunch of carries. Sony was productive in the passing game. You know, so, I mean, both these guys are good football players and have good football traits that we hope fit our program. So, I mean, the expectation is that these guys just come in here, they work hard, and they do what they're asked to do, nothing more, nothing less. I mean, that's the most important thing. I mean, all these players, regardless of when they're picked, who they are, I mean, they have a long, long, long way to go. I mean, it doesn't matter what round they're picked in. I mean, when you're talking about the draft, and essentially you're talking about developmental players, it doesn't really matter when they're picked. So, I mean, these players all got a long way to go. If you go look through the history of the league, I mean, you want to look at the first round and go on down. I mean, these guys have a long way to go, a lot of work to do. They're behind, I mean, our players. I mean, our players have been in the off-season program here for a couple of weeks. We're going into phase two. So whoever comes in this building, I mean, he's got a long way to go. They're behind, so the most important thing for them to do is to come in, work hard, assimilate into our program, and do what they're asked to do. And that's the expectation for them from day one. That's all it is. So with that, we'll take some questions.
Nick, what allowed you to win a tackle that's less than 6'3"? That's not usually ideal for the position. What did you see that allowed him to have success there at left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, just watch him play. I mean, he was a good pass blocker. He blocked a lot of good people. I mean, they played some good teams. So, you know, and he was effective doing that. So, I mean, the guy has experience playing multiple spots. So he played tackle this year. He played left tackle, and then he played guard for 2 years. So, you know, he has experience playing multiple spots. In the end, we'll do what we think is best for the team. So,
you generally don't take running backs very high. I think Lawrence Maroney was the last first-round pick, and Shane was a second-rounder. Not to say that you wouldn't, but what makes Sony Michel exceptional in that you take him that highly?
Yeah, I mean, look, our responsibility is to just pick good football players. I mean, that's the most important thing. So we think he's a good football player, so we pick the player. So, I mean, he's got pretty good skills. I mean, he's athletic. He's good in space. I mean, he's a strong runner for his size, 210, 215 pounds, whatever he is. So, I mean, our thing is pick good football players that have good traits. However they get here, they get here. Everybody gets the same opportunity when they get here. So regardless of where they're picked. So, I mean, we like the players, so we went ahead and picked them.
I'm just saying, conventionally, you guys have been able to, whether it's Danny Woodhead and Ben Jarvis, whether it's undrafted, lower-round guys, Deion Lewis, that's the only reason I ask the question. You guys have been able to generate guys from different spots that aren't necessarily high draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no template in terms of how you put it together. So our thing is to, each year, just to pick good players and try to get as many good football players on our football team as possible. So that's what we try to do.
Nick, with the 23rd and 31st picks, was there much effort to move around the draft board up or down?
Yeah, there's always discussion, you know, and in the end, we ended up picking, you know, where we did. So that's it's player-driven, other teams' interests. It's based on other players. So, I mean, look, we listen to everything, and, you know, sometimes there's discussion, sometimes there's not. So in the end, the way it kind of sorted itself out there this evening, we ended up, you know, picking at both spots. So, I mean, that's just the way it went here.
There was a lot of buzz about you guys having interest in Lamar Jackson. Did you guys consider him carefully with either of these picks?
Yeah, there's a lot of players, I think, that we talked about that we went through. I mean, our process is pretty thorough. I mean, we spent a lot of time on a lot of different players. So, I mean, there's a lot of players that we talk about. So, we picked a couple players tonight. Have an opportunity here in the second round tomorrow. We're going to pick another two players if we stay and pick, or if we have some opportunities to potentially move some things around. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion about a lot of players. I mean, look, we can only pick so many. In this case, we can only pick two. So sometimes you can only pick one. So, you know, but I mean, we talk about a lot of guys, I would say, on a pretty regular basis, and it's pretty fluid. And then, you know, in the end, we just try to pick the players that we feel are best for us.
Nick, did anything surprise you that happened above you, especially when Tennessee traded right before you and took Rashawn Evans?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think, you know, once you get to a certain point, I mean, teams are moving around and it's very player-driven, very player-specific. So I wouldn't say there's really, you know, any surprises. I mean, obviously the underclassmen are a huge part of it like they always are. The quarterbacks were a big part of it. You know, however many went five in the first, however many it was, or, you know, so, or four, whatever it was. So I wouldn't say there was anything that different or that surprising about what happened in the first round.
Patriots everywhere, but again, when Tennessee made that trade and it was Mike, was there kind of a like, well, he's trying to get ahead of us?
No, with all due respect to Mike, that wasn't the response. So, I mean, you know, John and Mike did what they thought was best for their team, but, you know, we didn't like throw our pens against the wall and go, oh my gosh, what just happened? So we were just ready to move on to the next pick. So
you said that when it comes to the offensive line, you just want to get your best five out there. With Isaiah, do you feel like he has the requisite length, athleticism to play tackle?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, when they get here, I mean, we'll put them out there. I mean, we'll give them reps and wherever we think we want to allocate them. And in the end, it'll come back to what we think is best for the team. I mean, you know, it's like when we drafted Nate. I mean, you know, his first year, the guy played right tackle, and the guy had never played right tackle before in his life. He was a jumbo tight end. So, I mean, however it goes, I mean, it's so early in the process. Like, we haven't even been on the field. Like, we haven't been on the field yet with the group that we have. So, and there's probably going to be some other moving parts here at some point. So, I mean, we'll work them at wherever we think is best, and then we'll see how it unfolds. And in the end, we just try to put the best five out there in the best spots that we feel is best, you know, for our offense and for our team.
How much of a concern was Sony Michel's bone-on-bone condition for his knee?
Yeah, we take a lot of information. There's a lot of information that we sort through. So in the end, whatever you have with a player, you take everything that comes along with it. So you're either comfortable or you're not comfortable with a player's situation. So, you know, you take a lot of that information in. I mean, so in the end, we felt we were comfortable with the player. So we went ahead and make the pick.
Nick, since you got to look at Tony Garcia, since he's been back for workouts, do you have a feeling now that whether or not he'll be competitive come training camp and OTAs?
Yeah, I think we got us still, Greg, we got a long way to go here. I mean, like I said, the guys have been here a couple weeks. So, I mean, they've been in the weight room lifting weights. We haven't actually even been on the field, you know, with the coaches. So, I mean, we have a long way to go. So, I mean, all that will probably sort itself out here over the course of the spring and through training camp. So, we'll have a better idea probably once we get a little bit further on down the road.
You mentioned Coach Smart. And in as much time as you devote to meeting with players and getting face-to-face with them, it seems there was limited contact with Isaiah before the draft other than the combine. Is that where trust in Kirby Smart and intel that you got from the program there comes into play?
Yeah, we did a lot more work on Isaiah than just the combine. So, I mean, just – but I mean, look, you – in that case, with Coach Smart, I mean, there's a tremendous amount – there's a lot of coaches. I mean, there's a lot of coaches throughout the country that we have dialogue, we have discussion, we spend a lot of time with the players, and you're trying to get as much information as you possibly can, and you're trying to get the right information, Bob, and the most accurate information. And Kirby's been around a lot of good programs. He's been around a lot of good players. So his perspective and his viewpoint on it, you know, is certainly something that we put stock in, among other things. I mean, it's – coaches talked about this before. I mean, it's a huge melting pot. I mean, you got a bunch of ingredients that are coming from a lot of different angles, and you're trying to put it all together, and you're trying to come up with the final sort of picture of what you have. So we have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Smart. I mean, he's not the only coach that, you know, there's a lot of respect for, but runs a good program. So there's discussion with him. And then, like I said, we had a lot of time with Isaiah and some other circumstances and situations. So we just try to do what we think is best and then get as much information as we possibly can. Look, to try to make the best decision for us. And look, in the end, a draft, I mean, John Schneider mentioned this the other day. I mean, look, some of it's a 50-50 proposition. And the further on you get down the road, the percentages go down. I mean, you go back, I mean, we'll talk about this, you know, over the next couple of days, but the further on you get into the draft, the percentages of players that actually end up sticking is pretty low. So, you know, that's just the way that this goes. Like I said, these players, I mean, they're all starting from scratch, regardless of where they've come from. I mean, with all due respect to the Georgia program, they're all starting from scratch. Both of these players start from scratch, and that's going to be the same with the other players that come in here. I mean, that's NFL football, and these guys got a long way to go. And whether or not they realize that or not, we'll find out. They'll find out when they get here. But, I mean, honestly, it's really a full year cycle by the time that you kind of you're up to speed and sort of have a grasp of what NFL football is about, which it's a massive undertaking, no question.
How much mystery was there at the top of the draft, just league-wide? There were four quarterbacks that went in the top 10 for the first time ever, but no one really knew how it would unfold. Just from your perspective, what was it like watching that unfold? And did you expect the quarterbacks to go sooner or later, or how did that all unfold?
Yeah, I mean, you go through it, and you kind of, you know, do an analysis by team of what you think they may or may not be doing. So, I mean, you know, we evaluate every player, and, you know, we assign our value and our grade, you know, on a particular player and, you know, what other teams are doing. Some have a little more relevance, a little more bearing than others relative to where, you know, where we were picking. So, I mean, I don't think there was really any mystery or anything surprising. I mean, those teams did what they thought, you know, was best for their team. I think the teams ended up picking the quarterbacks. You probably had some inclination that was going to be, you know, part of the discussion. How it all unfolded, you know, it probably changed from March till April. I mean, it's just, you know, the continuous cycle. Look, there's enough time out there. Everybody can come up with a different formula. So I'm sure everybody had a different idea about what was going to happen.
Work on the guys that went, like Mayfield and Darnold and –
We evaluate those players. I mean, in the case of Oklahoma, like, they have more than, you know, one player. So, like, our process is we go through, we evaluate those players, we grade them, we put them in the system, we assign a grade. So it's not like, oh, well, we think this guy's going to go in the top five. Okay, we're not going to spend any time on him. I mean, we spend as much time on, you know, on players that, we may or may not pick. We may pick, but, I mean, that's just part of our job. Like, we're just trying to get as much information as possible. Look, you never know when it's going to become useful. But you have to evaluate the player. It's not, well, what did you think of Mayfield? Like, he's going to go here. Well, we didn't evaluate him. I mean, that's the wrong answer. Like, that's not going to cut it here, I would say. Like, if coach said, well, hey, if we looked at this guy and the answer is, well, he's going to go in the top five, well, that doesn't really matter. So, you know.
Nick, obviously talent matters in the first round. It matters in all rounds. But how much – at this level in the first round, is character matter? How hard the guy is going to project to work in your program and fit here?
All that's a big part of it, Mike. I mean, everything goes in. The traits, I would say, the football traits a player possesses are very important, especially for our program. I mean, we want smart, tough football players, mentally tough, physically tough, that are going to have to go through the rigors of our program and are going to work. I mean, they're going to get up, they're going to come back the next day, they're going to be able to do it again and be able to sustain it over the course of a long period of time. So a player's ability to do that, like, it's hard to measure, I mean, but you try to put that all together as one. But those football traits are pretty important, especially around here, because, you know, we ask a lot of our players, and our players work their tails off. And, you know, the expectation is when a rookie comes in, like, yeah, he's far behind, but, like, is he going to work? Is he going to take the coaching? Is he going to improve? Is he going to go back? Is he going to study? Okay, the next day, is he going to come back? Is he going to do the same thing? Is he going to develop a routine for himself? So a player's ability to do that is going to give him at least a chance to be competitive. Whether or not that means he's going to be successful, I mean, that's a whole separate conversation, because your performance on the field in the end is the most important thing. But those football traits and football characteristics from that perspective are pretty important.
Do you use those evaluations prepare for the draft for next year for game planning, or is it like once the draft is over?
Repeat the first part of the question, sorry.
No, I'm saying the evaluation process for the draft. Do you put any of those evaluations of those players into game day planning for the following season, or is it just strictly based on what he's doing when he's in the league?
As far as...
like Mayfield, say, for instance, like you did evaluations on him for the draft of who he is.
Right.
Would you, that information, are you using that for when you play him in the regular season for the following season?
Right, yeah. It probably doesn't have that big of a bearing, because once the player transitions from college football to the NFL, so essentially that player gets transferred over. I mean, not to get into a big, like, database discussion, but he gets transferred over from the college system into the pro system. So all the information that we had in college carries over. So then we have a pro profile. okay, so then when he starts playing games, there's going to be information that comes in about, you know, his – now, we'll – like, if he sees a prospective opponent, you know, we'll go through – I mean, look, we evaluate every player in the league. So, but that's based on just their performance on the field. So we're evaluating, like, how they play, and we assign a grade, and then we see if it matches up. Okay, well, here's how he's playing. Well, here's what we thought in college. And that's kind of a way to kind of cross-check yourselves a little bit. You know, well, maybe we undergraded this player. Wow, this player's a little bit better than we thought. So everything kind of transfers over. But then your evaluation is strictly based on, like, what he does on the field. What information you had gathered up to that point for the draft, really, I want to say it's irrelevant, but it doesn't have really much bearing. So really, now you're evaluating against NFL players. So this is part of the projection element. So college players looking against college competition. So now you're projecting them into our league, our level. Now when they actually get here, then, okay, how do they fare against NFL competition, NFL teams? Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's a little bit different. Okay, if there's a gap, then you go back and say, well, maybe, you know, why did that happen? So it's all useful. Some has a little bit more relevance to your current situation than what happened in the past. If that answers your question, hopefully.
What did you see from Sony with regard to ball security?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, I mean, I have to look at the stats. But, I mean, look, we spend a lot of time when a player gets here on ball security. I mean, look, you guys are at practice. We do ball security at the first part of practice. So, I mean, right now, I mean, we don't think it's an issue. But, I mean, look, a player can work on a skill and you can improve a skill. I mean, Kevin Falk is, you know, a good example. I mean, so just because, you know, look, you don't know what they're being coached to do or what their coach, you know, what they were told to do, how to handle it. So when they get here, we'll teach, okay, we're going to coach them on this is what you need to do. This is our technique. You can improve those techniques, and that's something that you can address. So, you know, if it's an issue, then we try, it's like any player. If they have an issue with something, if we think it's an issue, we try to get it fixed.
You would think he was coached not to fumble the ball, right? You said Coach Smart's pretty good.
Right, but, yeah, but there's techniques. I mean, you know, look, a lot of people get away with some stuff in college that they can't get away with in the NFL. And it's, you know, just because they're so much better than everybody else, their, you know, athleticism and all that. So, I mean, look, the bottom line is when they get here, we'll coach them and teach them on our techniques, and hopefully they make some improvements. If there's a problem, we try to get it corrected.
A couple of weeks ago, Bill scoffed at the idea of drafting for need, you know, and I understand that, so I'm going to ask you this anyway, despite that.
You sure?
Yeah. Offensively, you went with two offensive guys. Defensively, there's some different spots that the layperson can say maybe that needs addressing. Did you have any inclination of saying, yeah, we really might want to go defense here, or is it just the player that dictates the selection?
It's all player. I mean, I think to Bill's point, I mean, drafting for need, look, you draft good football players. Our responsibility is to draft, like, we need good players. So, like, however we get them, wherever they come from, whatever positions that they play, that's our goal, and that's our, you know, our mentality and our process. So, like, if that's on offense, it's on offense. If it's on defense, it's on defense. So however they get here, they get here. So, you know, it's never, okay, well, we have to pick this guy. I mean, you know, look, you look at the player, you look at the rest of the players that you have graded and you evaluated, and you try to pick the players that, you know, you think make the most sense. So, I mean, drafting for need, our need is to draft good players. I mean, in the end, that's what it comes down to. So, I mean, that's the most important thing. So, take one more. Yeah, go ahead.
What are your thoughts about the quarterbacks left in this draft? Do you think there's some good quarterbacks left in this draft?
There's some quarterbacks left in the draft? Oh, there is. I mean, look, there's a lot of good players at a lot of different positions. So, I mean, we'll go back through, recalibrate here, you know, tomorrow morning. We'll kind of take an assessment of where we are, and we'll get ready to go here for tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, I guess, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow night, and then you can ask me the same question if we're in the same position. So, all right, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow.